The basis for the sermon is from Psalm 23. David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is God's word. What does Psalm 23 bring to mind? Many claim we live in a post-Christian Western world, and I suppose as far as morals are concerned, there's a lot of truth to that. But even in a post-Christian world, Psalm 23 still holds its own. Type Psalm 23 into Google and you will get 4,220,000 results. Type it into YouTube, and you're going to get 1,780,000 results. It is, of course, extremely common at funerals, and you can probably name a couple movies or TV shows off the top of your head where a funeral is portrayed and the minister is reading through Psalm 23. Maybe you remember President Bush reading a portion of it to the nation, to his address to the nation on September 11th. 2001. Even phrases in it like the valley of the shadow of death and my cup runneth over have taken on a meaning all of their own in the English language, used commonly as passing phrases. They appear regularly in English literature and even rap, though not always to the best use. But even beyond that, this psalm itself has inspired thousands of musical compositions to be written ever since its timeless words were first penned by David, and those musical compositions continue even today. So what place does Psalm 23 have in your life? Was it featured prominently in a funeral of someone you loved and cared for a lot? Is it hanging up somewhere in your house? Is it featured in some type of artwork in your home? My grandma made me a Psalm 23 blanket that I sleep under every night. Is it one of your favorite portions of the Bible to go back to when it's been a while since you cracked that book open? Though Psalm 23 takes on a life all of its own in our culture, I think you'll find understandings of it as varied as Christianity itself. Even though this psalm is so beloved, it does not explicitly mention sin. It does not explicitly mention forgiveness. The psalm right before it, Psalm 22, speaks very specifically a very detailed prophecy of Jesus' work on the cross, but this psalm is not. But make no mistake, Psalm 23 has a message for you. God's word has a message for you. God has a message for you today. Man, we could do a whole series of sermons on Psalm 23, a sermon for each verse. But for today, I want you to think of a path and a table. The timeline of this psalm is from here to heaven. We are walking on the path and we recline at the table. Psalm 23 is really drawn from two different portions of David's life, his time as a shepherd and his time as a king living in his palace, the second part of the psalm. David described his relationship with God in the most real way possible, in the most vivid way imaginable to him, so he describes God in terms of what he was so familiar with. His work as a shepherd out in the pasture. Whenever he saw a sheep feeding on the green pastures in front of him, he was reminded, God's word feeds me. I need all the comfort and strength God's word has for me. When he saw a sheep drinking from a nearby stream, he was reminded, I need to drink deeply of the truths I know of my God, or I will overheat and die just as surely as this sheep will if it does not get the water it needs. I want to challenge all of us during this coming week to do this. To do what David did. To project your relationship with God onto the sights and sounds and everything around you. David was a shepherd, and so in his work as a shepherd, he saw God shepherding him. You're a parent, and you try to be a good parent. But you are reminded in your work as a parent that God is your parent, your authority, your mentor, your provider. And in providing all of these things for your children, you're reminded of what God is doing for you. Maybe you think, I'm a worker, and I try and do my work to the very best of my ability. But in every single bit of work that I do, I am reminded that God is working infinitely harder to bring me safely to his heavenly side. I'm a soldier. And in my work of defending this country, I am reminded that God is always defending me from the devil, the world, and my own sinful flesh. I'm a teacher. And when I see my students learn, I am reminded above all that I am still a student. And I am always learning better how to be a best student of the great teacher who wrote a whole book for me to learn from. I'm a child. And in obeying my parents, I'm reminded that Jesus once had to obey his parents and set a perfect example for me. I serve you as your pastor. The word pastor literally means shepherd. And hopefully, in every bit of my work, I see Jesus as my shepherd. I'm reminded that he is my pastor, and I, above all, need to be shepherded by him. So the psalm starts off kind of slowly. It talks about lying down and also resting next to quiet waters, but then it picks up pace a little bit. It talks about walking in paths of righteousness. David says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The intensity increases. David continues. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Personally, I don't think that the picture the psalm started off with of resting in green pastures and sitting next to quiet, cool waters is a different picture than walking in paths of righteousness and trusting in Jesus' rod and staff. I think they are one and the same picture. The rest, calmness, comfort, and security, the love that you have in Jesus, it isn't just the end of walking the path, it is the path itself. The fact that you have rest for your souls in quiet, green pastures is proof of the very fact that you are on the path of righteousness. You don't so much pray to Jesus to bring you back to the path of righteousness, but the very fact that you are praying to Jesus, that you trust in Jesus, that you hope in Jesus, shows that you are on the path of righteousness, that Jesus is shepherding you. The Apostle Paul said it so well. Our path is from here to heaven. And Paul said, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Do you see that this is how Jesus shepherds you? Jesus gently, kindly, but firmly shepherds you through the burning, unfading conviction you have inside of you that Jesus is, well, in his own words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," or in the words of the gospel today, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Do you see how this beautiful, wonderful, timeless psalm is not just a serene picture that is painted with the expert brush strokes of the great writer, the great psalmist King David, so that it gives you a tranquil scene and a calm setting to transport yourself to when challenges come? David wrote what he did so convincingly to show you that you always have green pastures and cool waters. Because without Jesus, you and I are left to our sin. And sin is left to rampage through our lives. It is the raging bull that tramples down the green pastures, that tears up the fields, that muddies up the clear waters of the gently flowing streams. Sin is the raging bull in our lives because it destroys our motivation, because sin only has the pleasure for you in the moment, but when the moment is gone, it has nothing for you. Sin destroys hope, because sin has no destination. What you see is what you get. That's it. There's no hope beyond that. Sin destroys our relationship because it is completely self-centered. Sin destroys calmness and comfort because it leaves you with a burning conscience and an unsettled soul. Oh, but with Jesus, Jesus shepherds you away from the self-destructive way of life that sin leads you to and leads you away from in Jesus. It fulfills your greatest desire, the greatest want you could possibly have, which is for God to forgive me. That would never occur to you unless God told you that God forgives me. That would never occur to you unless God told you, unless God came down out of heaven for this very specific purpose, so that you and I can understand what we would never ever assume all on our own, that God himself wants to shepherd us. That Jesus, true God, came down out of heaven for this very specific purpose, to shepherd you through the message that has been leaving green pastures behind it and cool waters in its wake for thousands of years. That God forgives your sins in Jesus and for Jesus' sake. This is the message that leaves a burning conviction inside of you that Jesus uses to shepherd you, to come closer together, to always see him more clearly in his word, to always be more convinced that your path is from here to heaven, that Jesus will bring you safely to his heavenly side. Now let's finish off the last part of the psalm. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now we've come to the second part of David's life. Palace life, a life of luxury, wealth, the tables stocked with food, the oil. Perfumed oil was an expression of the honor and joy of being in royal court at David's time. But it's more than just rest and peace. We saw that in the first part of the psalm. But this psalm is now rejoicing in that rest and peace that you know we all have. Rejoicing at the banquet table in heaven. It's coming. Jesus himself said it. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." Notice especially what David places between walking the path of righteousness and sitting at the banquet table in heaven. What does he place between there? Worship. Keep worshiping. Keep letting Jesus shepherd you. And Jesus will bring you to this banquet hall of heaven. David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." From your house of worship here on earth to the unending worship of heaven, if we worship together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, pointing each other to Jesus, pointing each other to heaven, both Jesus and heaven, I think we'll be closer than you ever thought possible. There's one special portion of the psalm that I want to draw your attention to today. David says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That picture reminds me of my parents' farmland back in La Crosse. The farm's just outside the city. It's down in the valley. It's beautiful land. It has crystal clear streams that are spring-fed that run through all of it. You can see the trout rushing back and forth in it. It's surrounded by hills on all sides. The hills have logging trails that zigzag up and down their sides that during winter you can actually see because there's no leaves to hide them. And at night, as the sun starts to descend, from the western side of the hills, a shadow starts to come across the valley and cover the corn, the tall grass, the trees, and the creek. The shadow increases, and the border spreads until there is no border, and you're left with all the wonderful colors of the setting sun until all those different shades in the western sky of purple, orange, blue, and red left behind by the sun start to fade away. It's at that moment when the shadow covers the entire valley and there is only the changing colors of the sun in the western skies that I think David is talking about. Our whole life is like that Death's shadow covers over all of it. Pretty soon there will be no shadow. Death will come. The fading colors of your life, of the setting sun, will be gone. Oh, but it's beautiful to look at. We welcome the fading colors of the sun because we know that without Jesus, there is only sin and desire for sin, but with Jesus, those last colors of the day are beautiful. Another psalm said, precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Is this not the calm, hidden strength hidden inside of you that lets you put one heavy foot in front of the other when someone you loved and cared for has died? That their path was from here to heaven. That they are now at the table, rejoicing in heaven. Your path is from here to heaven. You're going to take a seat right next to him, right next to her. But in the meantime, our lives have a lot of issues. And Jesus takes those issues seriously. In the words of Jeremiah, He does not willingly bring grief or affliction to the children of men. Jesus doesn't expect you to be happy about it when challenges come your way. And I think that's why David has the picture of green pastures and cool waters to show you that this is not primarily a picture of joy and excitement that come and go in our lives and certainly doesn't dominate our lives. But this is a picture of calmness, comfort, security, forgiveness, and love. These things that do dominate our lives, these things that are the picture of the green pastures and cool waters, because Jesus is your good shepherd. I will fear no evil. I welcome the coming night. My grandmas are waiting for me. My childhood pastors are waiting for me. The friends who have died before me, they're waiting. Your family, the people you've loved and cared about, your friends who have died trusting in the rod and staff of Jesus, their good shepherd, they're waiting for you. Let the shadows increase. Let the fading colors of the day pass away. Because beautiful will be the morning. Let's close with this verse from Micah chapter 4. He says, "For you who cling to my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." Amen.